The book of Proverbs, chapter 20. I'm going to read a verse here, and then we're going to go over to Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs, chapter 20, and verse number 1. Proverbs, chapter 20, verse number 1. Here the Bible says, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I want you to notice it does not say too much wine is a mocker. Too much strong drink is raging. But it simply says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Turn over a few pages, if you would, to chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning down in verse number 29. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. The writer says this, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. I have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. I want to preach a message this morning that I've entitled, The Number One Drug in America. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer. Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning to gather together in the name of our Savior. Thank you for those folks that made it a point to be in your house among your people on your day, this first day of the week. We thank you, God, for the singing, for the congregational singing, for the giving, for the praying. Father, for all the parts of the service that we've had thus far. And Lord, we pray now as we open the precious Word of God in front of us, that Father, you'd speak to our hearts. God, we live in a world that has so many preconceived ideas, and so many judgments, even upon the Word of God, that, Father, they've decided what they believe long before they ever opened the pages of this book. And so, Lord, I pray you'd give us direction and give us understanding this morning. Give us a view of our society, of our world that we live in, and, Father, how we can be lights in this dark world and shine for the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, most of all, should there be one today that's never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that, God, you'd speak to that heart today. May they see your great love wherewith you love them by giving yourself on Calvary's cross for their sins. And Father, may they today commit their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless your word. Teach us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Last month, Sonia and I went to a training meeting for foster parents. We have to have continuing education and go to advanced training for these things. And the class that we went to last month was held at the police department, and it was a PowerPoint presentation about drugs. And as foster parents, it was making us aware of what the prominent drugs are of our day, how to spot usage of those drugs, and how to be aware of those around us that might be getting caught up in those kind of traps. And it was a very informational meeting. As one that's not experienced in drug use and those things, the only thing I know is what I read in the papers anymore. But to find out what methamphetamines were all about, how people make them, how dangerous it is when people are making them, those meth labs that they form, they showed us everything, but they did say, we've left out a couple of ingredients because we don't want to teach you exactly how to make this stuff. But they showed us the meth labs and how they make it, and they showed us some of the people that have experienced accidents in the meth labs exploding and things like that. Just all the dangers about it. They went through they went through cocaine, they went through heroin, marijuana, they went through synthetic marijuanas, and presented all these different drugs and showed us what a danger they are to our young generation and the people of our society. And truly it was heart-wrenching to understand that every time they find a way to test for one drug, illegal drug companies find a way to mask it in another way or come out with another drug. And it seems like an endless battle is going on. After that, they took us out to a trailer that was a mock house, like a small house or small apartment. And they showed us what police officers and drug enforcement people have to go through when they're looking for these illegal drugs. And they took us into a bedroom and said, all right, it looks like a normal bedroom. And it was set up like any bedroom you'd be in. But then they showed us the clock. And it was kind of like our clock on the wall back there, just a round circular clock on the wall. And they opened it up and there was compartments inside it to hide things, to put their stash. Now, I was a teenager once, and I remember wanting to find places to hide stuff from my parents. Not quite what they're hiding anymore. But I thought, well, that would have been neat to have as a teenager. But that's really a problem right now because they've got a place where they can open. They showed us the bracelets that some of the girls are wearing. And these bracelets that look so elaborate or whatever, they unrolled the thing and it was a crack pipe. And I was just amazed at the technology for evil that we have in society today. Then they went into the kitchen. Now, the kitchen's got to be safe, right? And they opened up the kitchen and there was a can of Pringles on the top shelf. Who doesn't like a can of Pringles? And they opened it up and opened up the top and you looked in and sure enough there were Pringles in the top. But they unscrewed the bottom of the can and there was a secret compartment on there to be able to hide things. They went to the peanut butter, grabbed the peanut butter. You looked on the shelf, it was Jiffy and it was a peanut butter. They put it down and they opened it up. It was completely empty. It was brown on the out. The coloring was brown, so it looked like it was full. But there was absolutely nothing in. And they explained to us that when we raid a house, when we go in, we've got to check everything in the world because people are coming up with new ways to hide things. They showed us a personal experience of one teacher down in another school district who saw two boys in the class handing chapstick back and forth. And they thought it, number one, unusual that a boy would care about using chapstick. Number two, that he would share it with a friend. That just doesn't seem like what guys would do. And then after class, the teacher noticed as he was paying attention that the boy that got it from the first boy handed it off to a third boy after that. So they were able to call them into the office. They were able to take that once the proper authorities came in because they couldn't do it themselves. They were able to take that little tube of chapstick and sure enough, there was chapstick at one end. But on the other end, they screwed off the top and there were eight pills, ecstasy or whatever it is. There were eight pills in that little container in the bottom of a little chapstick thing. It's just amazing what all they can do with these different things. And today, drugs, as you know by reading the paper, drugs are a menace to our society. And they are destroying our young people. Of all areas, I don't know why it seems to be. Maybe it's just because we live here, but this 70-77 intersection and the traffic from the big cities coming through, it just seems like we're prone to that thing. And it seems like a high percentage of the local area that's getting caught up in all of these different kind of drugs. You know the best way to keep your young people out of that? Number one is to have a close-knit family. As long as you have a close-knit family where everybody communicates well, where everybody is open and talkative, you've got a good shot. But number two is to be active in church. To have a close-knit family and be active in church. Now, let me say this. That doesn't give you 100% guarantee. But it sure ups the odds of you getting through those years without children that get addicted on these different illegal drugs. But I believe this morning that the biggest drug problem we have is not with an illegal drug. But the biggest problem our world faces right now is with a legal drug. You don't have to hide this in your house. You can have it in the refrigerator. You can have it in the cabinet. You can set it out on your countertop and nobody's going to say anything about it. The police will not monitor your movements. Drug enforcement will not come in and search for this in your house. It is a drug that's just as common and just as prevalent and just as dangerous as the other drugs. And I believe the writer of Proverbs talked about it in Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1 when he said, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Methamphetamines are a problem. Cocaine and heroin definitely are a problem. But the number one problem that's flying under the radar is alcohol. That is the biggest destroyer of our young people. You know, they tell us that over 300 million kids between 13 and 17, 300 million kids between 13 and 17 drink alcohol regularly. You understand the legal age is 21 years old. And yet our young people are being destroyed by this very thing. Half of all traffic fatalities are because somebody's been drinking under the influence. We would cut down our drinking by half if this drug was not legal. This drug is limited to all kinds of crime. Or not linked. This drug is linked to all kinds of crime. This drug is linked to all different kinds of immorality. It is a cause of divorce, of fatherless homes. It has affected social relationships. It has affected people's ability to work. I remember being in management at a local company and trying to find new employees, and you could get them to work from Monday to Friday, but they wouldn't show up the next Monday because they were hungover. It leads to health problems. There are all kinds of health problems related to this drug. In fact, they tell mothers that are expectant mothers, I mean, this should be, if nothing else, this should be the tip-off. They tell expectant mothers, don't touch that. Don't drink that. Because it's dangerous to your infant. And fetal alcohol syndrome is a very common problem for mothers that take this drug while with child. Now, the very fact that that's dangerous to offspring ought to tell us this is not a good thing. This is not a happy product. No matter how they advertise it, $600 billion a year in advertising, no matter how they advertise, it doesn't bring joy and happiness. It brings foolishness. It brings health problems. And it brings trouble to our society. Yet with all the destructive effects, it's not only legal, it's readily available. If I were to tell you that we have 9 places in Byesville, Ohio that are selling methamphetamines, you'd go nuts. You'd be down at the city council meeting saying, what's going on here? Well, how can we do this? But if I tell you there are at least 9 and I think 11 places in Byesville that are selling alcohol, peddling alcohol, no one gets alarmed, no one gets worried about it, we have a problem. We're overlooking one of our most destructive things, targeting kids as young as 13 years old. And it's causing havoc in their lives. In the 2016 census, I looked up online before our meeting Thursday, it tells us that we have 2,400 residents in Byesville. 2,400. Now, I'm trusting that was accurate on there. It said in 2010, there was like 24,038. And in 2016, it was 23,048, something like that. I think a 50-person difference. And so that seems to be the variable number for Byesville of where the population is. And so 2,400 people in here, there are 10 places that you can go and buy alcohol. That's one for every 240 people. I would say that's a little bit overkill. I would say that's a little bit dangerous. I would say that we can't blame people for DUI and blame people for crimes when they're under the influence when we make it readily available in all the places that we do. Something that came out of our meeting that we weren't aware of that the lawyer on the other side kind of let slip. He said, the village is allowed one carry out for every 2,000 people. Now think about that for a minute. They're allowed one carry out for every 2,000 people. So if Byesville has 2,400, they're allowed 2 for the 2,000, plus they're given 1 for the other 400. So they're allowed 3 places of carryout for the whole place of Byesville. 3. The Clark Station, Circle K, BP across the street, Southgate Parkway carryout. What am I missing? There's one more. What is it? Bubby's. All right, Bubby's. That's five. You think we have a problem? You think alcohol's too prevalent? You think it's too easily accessible? One thing that just blows my mind is that the Clark Station, right next to the elementary school, is selling alcohol. Parents that are picking up their kids from that school, because if you've ever been up by the school, the parking's very difficult. So people are trying to pull in there. It's a traffic jam every day around 2:30 down there trying to get through. And so parents pull up into the Clark Station. And that's thankful that whoever owns that allows them to do that. But the very place that they're parking to pick up their elementary school kids is a place that's advertising Budweiser in the sign in the front. If I were to stand here before you folks and tell you, I want you to know that I think there's nothing wrong with drinking alcohol, you ought to pack your bags and go to a different church. Any minister would stand up and say it's okay to participate in something that is a danger to people and causes these problems, he ought to resign his position. Because he's not sounding a warning for a detriment in society. I don't care if it's legal or illegal. The Bible says it's whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you're ever in a church, and the pastor stands and says it's okay to drink, you need to find another church. As I mentioned, I invited nine other churches. I sent personal letters out to nine churches here in Baysville. Some of them I knew that where they were. I looked them up online. I got the addresses. Some of them I knew they were in a location, so I drove by them, wrote down their addresses, and sent them a letter announcing we were having this meeting at Thursday. And I thought, if anything would unite the churches and unite God's people, it would be an opposition to something like this. Something that we'd all commonly agree is a detriment. And so we mailed out those letters and I invited them to the meeting, and the second page said, if you can't come to a meeting, here's a little form. If you would fill out your church name, someone with responsibility or authority in the church sign their name, tell me how many members are in the church, and we'll just take that with us and present it to the Division of Alcohol Control. We'll show it to them and show, see, here's some other churches that unite with us in opposition to the selling of alcohol in our village. We're united together. And I got not one letter back. As I mentioned, we did have one pastor that showed up, and I'm thankful for that. But that means the others just said, we're not interested, or it's not a big deal, or most commonly, it doesn't affect us. We're not involved. And I would say this to you, and I mentioned this last week at one time, several years ago when our church was in Cambridge on Madison Avenue, the Unity Presbyterian Church fought this very same battle with Courtside Deli. Courtside Deli was right next to their building, and they were going to put alcohol, and Unity Presbyterian asked all the churches in Cambridge to unite with them and help them. They sent us paperwork. We sent it back. We agreed. We said, we're against this. You can present our name at that meeting. It's not a matter of Baptist or Presbyterian or Methodist or church or anything else. It's Christians standing against the ills of society today. And yet, outside of that one pastor, as I mentioned, nobody helped us at all. One pastor, in fact, said on the phone, when asked if he was going to come to the meeting, said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Bible doesn't say anything against drinking alcohol. What he also went on to say is, if you're going to fight that, what about gluttony? If people overdrink, that's their problem, but people overeat all the time. Are you going to go protest the restaurants? Are you going to go fight against them? That's how silly. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. People begin to say foolish things, silly things, when they take positions in opposition to the Word of God. I like what Dr. Adrian Rogers said about that. Somebody said that to him one time. Well, gluttony's just as bad as overdrinking, so are you going to preach against gluttony? He said, yeah, I preach against it, but I've never seen the police pull over somebody on the highway for being fat. But they do if you're drinking. They do if you've drank too much. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, the verse that we've read already. Look at that verse again, if you would. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 29. I don't think you could have a more accurate picture of alcohol than what we've got here. Now, this is not the picture of the whiskey that's, you know, on the billboard with the girl in the slinky clothes and letting you know that everything's going to be great if you drink that. Here's a more accurate picture in verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? You know, they say, well, I'm going to drink away my sorrows. I've never seen anybody drink them away that got happier. They just got more miserable. And then once they got over the hangover, they were more miserable even than that. Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Got to watch out for drunks. Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Now notice verse 31, because this is going to answer a very common, ignorant statement by many people. Verse 31. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. Now I want you to look at that verse carefully. Look not on the wine when it turns red. Look not on the wine when it moves itself in the cup. In other words, if you can get this, and I hope you can follow it, it's wine before that happens, and it's wine after that happens, but it's a whole different kind of wine. Look not on the wine, it's already wine, when it moveth itself aright in the cup. So something happens to the wine that makes it a different kind of wine. Before, it's not red. Before, it's not giving its color in the cup. Before, it's not moving itself right, but both of them, it's called wine before and after. Now, if you properly understand that verse, now you can go to John chapter 2. Now you can see that Jesus turned water into wine. And now you can see that the argument that Jesus drank wine and made wine is completely foolish. Those that are deceived thereby are not wise. When Jesus turned water into wine, it was not an alcoholic beverage. It was a very tasty flavor. It was something that was rich in its flavor, and usually you gave that to the people at the party first, and then after the wedding reception went on, you went to the watered-down stuff a little bit because they couldn't tell the difference, and Jesus did it backwards and gave them the best last, and they said, this has the best taste. This has more flavor. It was not alcoholic by any stretch of the imagination. And yet people today, when defending, and when defending alcohol. Now those two words should never go together with any preacher. They should never go together with any believer in Jesus Christ. Defending alcohol. And when they do that, they use the excuse that Jesus drank or Jesus turned into it, and that's a very ignorant excuse. Because it's not the kind of wine that you're talking about when you say people are drinking wine, beer, or strong drink today. In fact, the Bible paints a very descriptive picture of alcohol consumption. One is there in Proverbs 23. He said in verse 32, at last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or he that lieth upon the top of the mast. Everything spins when you've had too much. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? Things happened to me I didn't know happened. And he said, when I wake up, I'm going after it again. Nobody ever becomes an alcoholic without taking a first drink. Nobody ever becomes addicted. Nobody ever becomes like the man in Proverbs 32 that has that stuff happen without taking a first drink. Folks want to justify the first one and the second one and the other ones and say, well, that doesn't cause any harm. You're unwitting. You're unwitting. You have no idea what harm it causes. We're not going to take time to turn there, but I want to remind you of the first occasion in Scripture, in the Bible, where somebody drank alcohol. Now think in a minute, do you know where that is? The first occasion in the Bible where somebody drank alcohol. And I'll tell you right ahead of time, it's not a good story. and there's not a good ending. And it's a sad and heartbreaking rendition. Nobody ends up happy. Nobody ends up cheerful. Nobody ends up just getting through the evening or the night. In fact, when that man drinks that alcohol in Genesis chapter 9, he ends up naked on the floor in his room, not knowing what happened to him, not knowing how he got there. He didn't intend to end up that way. He didn't begin starting to go that way, but that's where, I would contend that those that justify the drinking of alcohol and say, well, it's just it's a little bit. I would really question anybody that say, I drink wine with my meal. I drink a beer once a, I'd question anybody that would say this. I've done that and never had a buzz. That doesn't happen. That's the purpose of drinking it. Not just because it's cool, not just because it's refreshing, not because it goes, but everybody, one point or another, because they get too much. Not on purpose, not intentionally, don't start out to, it's unwitting. Just like that man in Genesis 9. There's another man in Genesis 19. And he ends up drinking, his daughters give it to him. And he unwittingly is drinking it, not realizing what's going on. And horror of all horrors, that by the end of that story, if you're familiar with it, in Genesis 19, that man lays down drunk and has sexual relationships with his daughters, and they conceive by their father. That wouldn't have happened, I can guarantee you, wouldn't have happened if he didn't drink. Now you say, well, that's an extreme. Yes, but it was unwitting. He didn't plan on it. He didn't know it. He didn't know what was going to happen or what the end result would be. You know, that's like any other drug. Well, just try a little bit. It's not going to hurt anything. 13-year-old kid. Oh, don't worry. You'll be cool. You'll be like everybody else. Just try this. A little bit won't hurt. Now, I know people say this, preacher, after I've been mowing the lawn and worked up a hard sweat, I sit on the back porch, I break open a cool one, I have a beer. What in the world's wrong with that? I wonder if I got up and told you I did that, if you'd have a problem with it. If I told you, yeah, after an 85 degree day, I've got 3/4 acre out there and I push mow it. It takes me about an hour and a half to get it done. By the time I'm done, I'm soaking wet with sweat. I just go on the back porch and I tell my wife or my 12-year-old daughter, hey, go in there and get me a beer out of the fridge. I want something to drink right now. If I told you the preacher did that, you ought to head for that door. If I told you I had wine with my meal every time, when we sit down to eat at a restaurant and they come and say, what would you like to drink? And I get something off the liquor list or something out there, I think you'd be appalled, because I think you know it's not right. But we always think it's not right for the preacher, but it's all right for us. We're unwitting. We're taking it and drinking it and not realizing that it's a drug that's causing a problem. You know how the drug pushers get new clients? They tell these new clients, these prospective people, just try it. Just try it one time. Just use a little bit. And if you like it, okay. And if you don't like it, don't worry about it. But just use a little bit. We would say it in this way. Just try it in moderation. And that's what people are telling folks when it comes to alcohol. Just try it. Use it in moderation. You're not hurting anybody. That's the same way that the pushers of alcohol do the same thing. Used to be a commercial for beer and it said, go for all the gusto you can. Now you hear the beer companies, I think it's so hypocritical and just so disgusting. They come out and they say, drink responsibly. Well, you know how you drink responsibly? By not drinking. Nobody ever caused a car crash. I got to word this right. You'll never get charged with DUI if you don't drink the first time. You'll never get in trouble for being drunk if you don't drink the first time. Why would we justify one time, knowing it can cause the others, instead of just saying, don't do it one time? Those that are deceived thereby are not wise. Scripture is very clear. It's very simple. But The advertising industries have to put this money in. $600 million a year, I think I told you earlier, in advertising just to get people to take. And yet the Bible says, whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now here's the question this morning. Are you saved? Are you a child of God? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's a change in our life. Let me give you just a personal testimony. I'm reluctant even to do it. I got saved when I was 18 years old. I was raised in an alcoholic home. It was not my father, it was my mother. And I'm thankful to say that in her last years before she passed away, she got detoxed. She got put in a hospital, not by her own will. My two sisters had her committed and she got cleaned out and everything went well. And she's the sweetest woman in the world the last years of her life. But for the years I was growing up, it was miserable. She was always drunk. She was half passed out, cussing everybody, everything that moved. We never brought kids over to our house. If you're in high school, you go to your friends, they come to your house. They'd come to mine, but we'd stay outside. We'd never go indoors. It was a miserable existence that way. And yet the very thing I hated in my mother, I found myself emulating. The very thing she was doing when I was in high school and 16, 17 years old, getting in trouble for the very thing she was doing. When I was 18 years old, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. The day I got saved on a Sunday, and I was back on the Marine base either Monday or Tuesday, I forget what day it was, and I was just bubbling over with joy because I'd gotten saved. And I couldn't wait to tell these other Marines. We'd just gone for a 5-mile run. We're back at the barracks. We're sitting in a circle and everybody's got Budweiser in their hand, including me. And it didn't even dawn on me. This is, you know, I had no problem. I'm just sitting there and I don't even know if I was drinking. I just couldn't wait for everybody's talking and I couldn't wait to tell them I got saved. And so when it finally came my opportunity, I opened my mouth and I said, I want to tell you guys what happened to me yesterday. I went to this church and I told them the story and I told them I got saved. I trusted Christ as my Savior. And Corporal Brown, black guy sitting right across from me, looked at me and he said, you're nothing more than a stinking hypocrite. And I was shocked. I thought, well, how could I be a hypocrite? I just got saved yesterday. How could I have been that? I've got to be a hypocrite. I said, what did I do? He said, what do you got in your hand? And I looked down there at that Budweiser in my hand. And I realized, if I'm going to be a Christian, if I'm going to tell people I follow Christ and I'm a new creature in Christ, this isn't part of my new wardrobe. This isn't part of my new activities. And I'm glad to tell you that I'm not going through a lot of the troubles I had. I lost a job due to alcohol. I got, there's just all kinds of problems, even at that young of an age, following the example of a parent. But I'm telling you that when I put that down that day 42 years ago, I've never touched another one since. And when I see an old beer can tossed in the grass of our church, I tell John to go get it. No, I don't. But if I see one there, I don't even want to pick it up. I'll go get a stick and stick it in through the top, especially if there's some left in it and that smells in there and stuff there. I don't want anything to do with any of that stuff. You know why? Because when I got saved, I became a new creature in Christ. It used to be the old-time preachers back in the 30s, the 40s, even the 20s, used to preach about alcohol as the devil's brew. When's the last time you heard that phrase anymore? Even in churches, even among Christians, no, it's tolerable, it's allowable. You can have wine at your lunch. You can drink one or two every once in a while. The guys are all coming over for the Super Bowl or a big game. It's just customary. That's just what you do. I heard one preacher say this, if I went to Germany, a Baptist preacher, if I went to Germany where they usually have wine with every meal and they served it to me, I would drink it so as not to offend them. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. That's a foolish statement. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. If you and I are a child of God, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, an adherent to the Word of God, then all we've got to simply do is say, yes, I believe that methamphetamine is wrong. I believe that snorting cocaine is wrong. I believe that smoking marijuana is wrong. And I believe that drinking alcohol in any form is just as wrong as any other drug that the world, whether it's legal or illegal, whether it's allowable or not allowable. It's against the Word of God. It's against the desires of the Savior who died on Calvary's cross and paid for your sins and bought you with a price. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, it's been my desire this morning to communicate the dangers of this drug. Lord, I know a lot of folks would not agree with this message.